Immigration to Saskatchewan, Canada for Entrepreneurs and Workers. Welcome to this Bernie Chats with Daria Conahan, President, Reach International Recruitment and Immigration Services. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bernie Chats. We're recording on behalf of jobsincanada.com today, and we're joined by Daria Conahan, CEO of Reach International Recruitment and Immigration, based out of Saskatchewan, Canada. Daria, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm in sunny Saskatchewan. It's great here.
So how are things going in Saskatchewan as far as the skills market, the labor market? How's that looking these days, especially in light of the pandemic?
Well, we've got the pandemic to deal with, but Saskatchewan is booming, really. We just announced that Cargill is putting a huge plant in here, and also Grant Industries is putting in a $1.3 million addition that's going to add more jobs. And
you're quite involved in the agricultural side and the hospitality side, I remember you told me.
Well, a little bit. I mean, you can't be from Saskatchewan and not be involved in agriculture, right?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. For our listeners, Saskatchewan is very spread out. It's not very concentrated in the cities. The cities are not that large. They're about, 200,000 people in a province of, about 1.1 million, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, 1.3. We have a lot of space.
Yeah. So there's a lot of nice towns. Whereas Manitoba tends to be more centralized. Over half the population is in Winnipeg, for instance, and there's very few cities outside of Winnipeg.
Yeah. Well, so, our main cities are Regina, Saskatoon, Prince Albert.
Right.
We have some great little towns and hamlets outside, but we're largely agriculture. We have a lot of potash. We're very diverse. We have a lot of lentils. So agriculture is big here. It's a gamut of skills and trades here.
When you talk about the factory that's being built by Cargill, do you have any idea what kind of scale that project's going to be? And is it primarily cattle related?
No, I don't think it's cattle related. And I honestly don't know much about it, except that everyone was doing a big happy dance. And I think they said 1,500 jobs.
1,500 jobs, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think the current labor availability in Saskatchewan can sustain that, or will they have to bring in people from outside of Saskatchewan or outside of Canada?
I think they're going to have to bring people in. Mm-hmm. It's very tough to get workers right now. The jobs are there as mm-hmm. we reopen, especially in different sectors. I know hospitality industry is opening up again, and they're not finding enough workers. I would imagine that we'll have to bring in, or, you know, another route to go for someone looking to have a career here in the skills and trades. We have absolutely fantastic education systems. SAS Polytech is a skills and trades. If I were looking for my child to get into something, I would see, wow, Saskatchewan's booming. Here's a great school, get them into a trade, get them in through apprenticeship.
Great. So is there anything about Saskatchewan that makes it unique from other provinces regarding occupation lists for entry or the PNP program or anything like that?
Saskatchewan Immigrant Nominee Program, SINP, has several sectors, there's several streams. And instead of having a list of jobs that they accept, they have a list that they don't accept, because that's many. So there's an occupations exclusion list. If your occupation isn't on that list, you're eligible to apply for occupations in demand. And occupations in demand are occupations that Saskatchewan needs now or is going to need in the future. And so you can apply for that without a job offer. And that's very unique.
So you can apply to come in without having a job lined up.
Right. You need to score. They have a grid. And so score 60 points or higher.
Right.
To be honest, it's higher.
The competition would dictate that they would pick the highest numbers.
Absolutely. That's a great program. Our CLB is lower at CLB 4. That's to do with your language score.
Okay. So CLB is a language score.
Yeah.
And are they open to French and English, or is it only English?
no, open to French and English. And if you have both, you get more points.
Bonus points. I like that.
For sure. So there's occupations in demand, and then there's expressed entry. And then, of course, there's the job offer, there's farm. There's so many streams. One thing for sure that people, your listeners need to know is that we always need an education credential assessment done. It's fairly easy to get. They don't have to pay someone like me to get it. They can go to WES.org and apply. And it just verifies their education that they're claiming.
So it's a educational verification. Is it instant, or does it have to be researched and then come back to them?
It comes back to them.
So there's
and
a time.
In the pandemic, it has been taking time. And going through the PNP program, you do need a French or an English language test. I primarily work in Saskatchewan.
Right.
And I've recently branched out to Nova Scotia as well.
When you go to Nova Scotia, do you bring your zebras with you?
Yeah, that's my staff. And you know what? They're so good. They're very they just listen. They don't do what I tell them, but they listen.
So they're actually foreign workers.
Yes. Yeah, they got their PR.
They got their PR. That's great.
I'm going to jump in and say one thing about that's very unique about Saskatchewan is that if someone, a foreign worker, were to come and they're in a skilled trade or management position, they can apply for PR after 6 months.
Oh,
yeah.
So in Saskatchewan, I just want to unpack that a little bit. In Saskatchewan, if you secure a job, work in that position for 6 months, then you can apply for a permanent residence.
Right.
Whereas in most provinces, it's a year or two.
Yeah.
Great. That's really good. And what about for students? What's that path like in Saskatchewan?
It's pretty good. We have a great university. I graduated at the University of Regina more times. Yeah. So once they've graduated, they can get a postgraduate work permit, which will allow them to work for an employer. And then again, after 6 months through Saskatchewan Experience, they can apply.
Great.
Well, another thing about our program is that if you apply through the OID, through Occupations in Demand or Express Entry, and you have a relative in Saskatchewan, you get more points.
That's good, because that's more likely to keep you there if you have some roots there or some family or some support network.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The support network and show you around town and show you how to get your banking.
Right. You know. And there's less likelihood of getting homesick, being lonely. You create another family,
right?
More or less. So Daria, what are you focused on these days? What is your main focus?
I started in this industry because I love travel. I've been to, I think, 31 countries. I like learning about different cultures and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then this started opening up, and I thought, wow, this does everything. But I also have a passion for business.
Which programs are you most familiar with that we can dig in a little bit? Is it student programs or is there any?
Quite a bit of students with the U of R, and it's fairly seamless. The thing with the students is they have to have their ECA done, of course.
ECA being?
The Educational Credential Assessment.
Right, that we discussed before.
Their language test. They can come for ESL. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have someone who wants to go to school and do their certificate, diploma, BA. First of all, it should be in line with what you've been doing previously. Mm-hmm. You can't suddenly say, I've been, you know, doing something for 10 years and now I want to get into this really easy route. Right?
Right.
So, and if you don't have your language test, you can get a conditional approval so that you can write you take an ESL class here. But just because the school has invited you does not mean the visa officer will let you in.
Okay.
That's really important because I have no control. The school has no control. So it should be in line with what you're capable of doing, what your interests are, and go from there.
So to unpack that a little bit, you can get a visa to study English in preparation for a course. So you could say, I'm going to take dental hygiene, let's say, or whatever the demand is that falls in line with your previous occupation. And before that, you could study English conditionally. In other words, I'm assuming that you have to pass it in order to continue on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, because of COVID, the government has allowed people to study from their own country.
Right. I was wondering about that. I was wondering if, well, there's that. And I was wondering about the working side of that too. But why don't you finish that and I'll go to the working side.
Well, you know, a lot of people, it's not just that Canada doesn't want people coming in. A lot of people are afraid to come in. They may be in a country that has, you know, less cases than us.
Right.
And they want to stay home. So they're allowed to now stay home and do up to 50% or more. I think you might have even changed it of their program and still go towards postgraduate work permit.
So you could have a study visa and do 50% of your studying in your home country and the other 50% on the ground in the institution or the educational facility in Saskatchewan.
Right. And okay. They may have just changed that. I haven't processed any under that.
Right.
Every day things are changing. So it's tough to give. That's why I guess my job is here, because I have to stay. I literally read about an hour's worth of changes every day.
Wow.
To keep up, it comes through my desk and things. And, you know, let's face it, during this crisis, this pandemic, most of us, we've never experienced one before. So we're all on the fly, whether we're politicians or employers or whoever, we're kind of navigating our way through it the best we can.
Making the rules as we play the game.
Yeah, we do want students, and it is getting safer here. We're all being vaccinated and things are opening up. So hopefully the foreign worker, that will open up more. And okay. now they've said that if someone is double vaccinated, they won't have to do the government quarantine, the hotel. So that's huge, because that was falling on the employers to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're going in, first of all, temporary foreign workers are a big investment for an employer.
Right.
And they're a big investment from both sides. So if you just go, well, maybe I'll wait this one out. So I do think that the gates are going to open soon, I'm hoping.
So when you say a big investment for an employer, what are the aspects of that investment? What considerations are there for employers?
Well, employers who want to hire on their own, it's a lot of time. You know, you advertise one job and you're going to get 300 work, you know, applications, going through all of them to see. You know, of course, we have to hire a Canadian permanent resident first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And
if there's one available to do the job, then you must hire a Canadian.
But you screen all 300 applicants to see where they're from.
Mm.
Open every single one and then go. And if you can't find a Canadian or permanent resident, it involves interviewing them, checking their education, checking their credentials, you know, interviewing them, also paying for the advertising. If you're doing an LMIA permit, it's $1,000. If they're coming in and they have to be quarantined, you pay for the quarantine and you pay their wages while they're in quarantine.
Oh, okay. So that is an investment.
It is a huge investment. And then often people, foreign workers, may not be able to hit the ground running. Maybe they need to a bit of adjustment into Canadian culture, into the way things are done, skills and trades. And so there's that. So we're really, you know, at my company, we're really about connecting the right people with the right employers. We want them to stay. We want them to be happy and business to boom.
Great. That's awesome. That's great information. So digging into a little bit about the considerations for employers, what happens with medical when a foreign job seeker comes in? Are they automatically on the medical system, or do they have to wait 3 months, or how does that work?
That's one of the great things about Saskatchewan is you have your medical.
And that's right. Not the same in every province.
No, we're home with Tommy Douglas. We're home with Medicare.
Yeah, that's right. For people who don't know, the medical system as we know it, Medicare, was originated with one of the politicians from Saskatchewan, Douglas. And so does the foreign recruiter, yourself as a foreign recruiter, do you check the references for these people, or does the employer have to do that?
No, we do that, and we check, we make sure that they're translated. We make sure that we verify that they came from there, that they're translated to English, mm-hmm. that, you know, the ECA, the Education Credential Assessment, is done through usually WES. And we check the validity of their IELTS and all that kind of stuff. And also we do check their medical and their criminal background.
Okay, so you do a criminal record check. You check their medical to make sure they don't have ailments that they're going to become a burden to the medical system on.
Right.
Right. Or an ineffective worker, right?
Right.
Do you do a credit check on them? Somebody asked me about that because they do credit check on their employees.
No.
But okay.
I mean, that could easily be done.
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't.
No. Depending which country, I guess, right? And how formal they are.
We do it for the business people.
Okay.
Right. But I've never had that come across for a worker, but I don't think it would be.
Yeah, I was surprised an HR person asked me that question. How are the terms for foreign workers? Is it 1 year, 2 year, 3 year?
It depends on what the employer wants.
Right? Okay.
And generally behind it is, you know what, if I'm hiring a foreign worker and I put in 2 years, I really want to keep them.
Right. For sure. Yeah. You've made a big investment.
Yeah. The goal is to keep them and keep them with your company and grow with your company. They've had 2 years and they know it.
Yeah. They're more self-sufficient at that point. And the reason you got them in the first place is because you couldn't find anybody to start with.
Right. There are some occupations, like in agriculture, that the temporary foreign workers are seasonal.
Right.
A lot of people from Mexico come up to work in the fields and vineyards, things like that. And they don't necessarily want to stay.
So what kind of, because they are making money to support their family back home.
Right.
Right. It makes sense. I know in British Columbia, back about 10 years ago when I read the act, the Agricultural Worker Act for British Columbia, it included transportation to and from Latin America or wherever their country was for, I think it was at least one flight back and forth per year. So.
Yeah. There's different knot codes.
Right.
O is management. A is management. B is skilled. C and D are lesser skilled. Under the lesser skilled trades, an employer is obligated to pay the airfare.
Okay, great. And so how does Saskatchewan's agricultural worker program work? Is it similar to other ones? Is it a possible track in as a permanent residence, or how does it work for?
Yeah, there is a way for under the Saskatchewan experience for agriculture. There's an agriculture pilot project that actually it's a federal stream too that will allow people to come in and get permanent residency.
Okay, great. And you used a name there that slipped my mind. The program that you mentioned, Experience Saskatchewan. So can you tell me a little bit about the Saskatchewan Experience program?
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier. If you've had 6 months experience in Saskatchewan, you're eligible to apply.
I see. That's the program called Saskatchewan Experience.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So one of the things I was wondering about getting Canadian work experience that maybe you can answer for me. There's a lot of people working remotely right now, and a lot of companies want their employees to work remotely. So if, for instance, a company here wants to hire a foreign worker who happens to be in, let's pick France, and they want to hire them to work for their company, which is based in Regina, and then that, you see where I'm going with this, that company, that person works for that company for 2 years, is that Canadian work experience, and does that count towards their qualifications for permanent residency? Go ahead.
Funny you asked me that, because I just asked that question yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. The answer okay. I got.
That from Saskatchewan or from feds?
From wherever in Canada. I asked a colleague.
Okay.
Because that's I'm hiring right now, and I found someone in a different country, and I had hoped, because of COVID, I had hoped that we could start.
Okay, so working in another country for a company that has their employees working remotely currently does not apply to Canadian work experience. It has to be work experience in Canada, on the ground. You have to be living here for that time to qualify. Okay, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah. Now, if someone has a company in another country and wants to establish here, they can bring their top management, their skilled people over to work at the company.
Okay. And
through an intercompany transfer. There's so many streams.
What skills are more in demand in Saskatchewan right now and that you're seeing come across your desk? Are you seeing more administrative, more agriculture, more hospitality? And in what kind of numbers?
There's more hospitality.
Okay.
Right now, and I've heard that across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hospitality industry, you can't work from home.
Right. And I think a lot of hospitality workers who've been affected by COVID have realized this is not that secure if there's ever another repeat of COVID. And currently it's up and down. So a lot of them have taken the opportunity to retrain, maybe get it financed by CERB or whatever program is available.
Right.
And take another career path.
Right.
Mm.
And yeah, and it's tough. My son's a cook, and two people on, like, one on each side of him tested positive.
Oh, really? Wow.
And there's nothing that hits reality like going to see your son and dropping him groceries off while he's on the other side of a door.
Right.
So a lot of the people don't want to come back, maybe into the industry, or I don't know. But for whatever reason, that seems to be the big one. If you have, you know, if you are in an administrative or managerial position, you can do that remotely a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so Saskatchewan being Saskatchewan being a large agricultural producer, I'm assuming there's a fair amount of food processing companies there too, or are there?
There are that. I mean, we've got a couple of big lentils. We've got the Sask Wheat Pool that is a co-op, but we don't have a lot of huge, large industries.
So you don't have companies that are making mass quantities of bread or cereal boxes or.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know at one time they were trying to acquire those kinds of processors, because it makes sense. I mean, go to the source and produce it there and then ship it out. But then I guess they want to ship the raw materials, like we tend to do in Canada, ship the raw materials and have it processed closer to the population.
Yeah. Well, here there's big farms. I mean, really, really big farms. And I was on a conference call, and one of the issues that came up for agriculture is that the farmers here, they want a worker who understands the community aspect of how we are here, right?
Right.
We're community oriented, and we have to be. When it's freezing cold out, you have to be a good person so someone will come boost your car, push you out of the snowbank.
For sure.
Each other out to survive here. They want that, but they also need, it's a whole new world. You may have a tractor that has three computers on it.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who's computer savvy, and you know, the younger generation, they're just born with these things in their hand. where, so we need that input and know how to do that. So there's a disconnect, I think, in what we need and what we can get. Also, our tractors, things like that, may not be the same as in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They may be more technologically, and from what I've seen in Saskatchewan and other countries, the equipment in Saskatchewan is massive.
Huge.
I mean, you got huge combines, and, you know, they're industrial size. They're not just little tractors.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I went out, you know, bought rural.
Right.
I'm saying, wow, look at that tractor. I never thought I'd see that.
It's impressive. I guess the other thing in Saskatchewan too is mining and open pit mining, potash, stuff like that. Is that still a going concern?
That we are. I think we're amongst the biggest in the world here. And that's mostly up north.
Say it again, please.
Sorry, that's plain. Up north, we have, Cigar Lake. We have Kojima and Cameco are the two big mining companies here.
Okay. And do you know if they hire foreign workers?
They probably do.
Okay.
I haven't been really in touch with them so much. Now, when you look at up north, the oil fields and the mining took a big hit, right?
It did, eh? Yeah, with the drop in commodities prices.
Alberta really dropped and right. Things laid off, people were laid off. But it's picking up again.
Great. Go ahead.
We've done remarkably well through this pandemic.
Good.
We really have. Things are happening here.
Oh, that's great. Great. So why don't we dig into two things then? I want to ask you a little bit more about students and a little bit more about your business startup program. Okay. So with the students, what advice do you have for students or people that want to take the student path in getting their permanent residency in Canada, so to enter the student path and become Canadian citizens eventually?
Pick your courses carefully. Get them in line with what you know, what you're passionate about. Find a course that's a good fit for you that will give you a postgraduate work permit. Two things, we might be able to help out, and I'll give a plug at students@riri.ca. I have a director that will help out choosing a course and a path. Hmm. We work with any school or institution in Canada, but primarily with the University of Regina. And I find that works because I'm 5 minutes away. I've worked there. I've graduated from there. I know it's a great school. But as I said previously, SAS Polytech is fantastic. It's still in trades. Reach International will be implementing a direct student to work to PR program for select, probably starting in agriculture, maybe some healthcare and hospitality. And that'll be in 2022. And it'll be a pilot project for us where we will assist people who come into one of the industries. If it's hospitality, tourism, it would be, because that fits with our other area, or ag, something like that. And they take their course, they get their postgraduate work permit. We'll give them some Canadian experience, some Saskatchewan experience that they can go into.
Sorry, you got the bell again. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I don't even know how to turn it off. I'm sorry.
No worries.
But like I was saying, let's say we have someone going into hospitality and tourism, then we'll help them get into school, get into the appropriate program, and when they're done, we'll give them an internship or work experience program for at least the 6 months that will qualify them for PR.
Great, that's super.
Yeah, I'm finding, I'm a parent, and I see all these moms and dads sending their children to Canada for a better life. And they go into courses, like when I went to school, everybody got a bachelor of psychology, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Didn't know what else to take and did nothing with it. And so I really want to help these people send their children here and say, here, here's a great path to go on. And maybe they won't stay on that path, but it'll sure open their eyes and they'll be exposed to different things. They might be our next restaurant owner, you know, mm-hmm. or entrepreneur, or, you know, start farming or do something. So those are my goals. It's kind of my passion, you know, to help people out like that.
And that's wonderful. I think having that kind of insight and experience to learn from and choose a path, I think is going to be really helpful for a lot of people. Yeah. It's hard to have the kind of foresight and stuff when you're a young person, you haven't really connected all the dots yet. Right.
Yeah.
So that's good. So what kind of resources, if somebody wants to do that, take that path, what kind of resources should they have and what kind of steps should they take to get started? I mean, every path starts with one step, right?
Right. Right. Well, first of all, I mean, again, if they email us, we can help them do that. And just for, we have different people in charge of different areas. So it's students@riri.ca, business@riri.ca, and, you know, employers@riri.ca. And it helps because we get so many things.
Sure, you can stream them to the right people.
Right. And mm-hmm. you know what? If they forget that, just go to our website, riri.ca. We have so much information. But if someone wants to, you know, go and help, needs help on a direct path to PR, they can certainly email us and we'll see how they can fit into a school and get them into that so that they can go on to what they need to do.
Excellent.
You know, if I can say, if you are going through consultants, honestly, you get what you deserve if you don't go through somebody who's licensed. Mm-hmm. And I can't stress that enough. There's so many what we call ghost consultants out there who aren't licensed. Mm-hmm. And I, for instance, I'm licensed in Canada through ICCRC. Mm-hmm. They have everybody listed on their website. You can check people out.
Yeah. So the takeaway there is if you're dealing with somebody about immigrating to Canada, and you want to check their credentials, you can simply just go to the IRCC.
ICCRC.
The ICCRC website.
Yeah.
And put in their information and make sure they're a registered immigration consultant.
Right. But in Saskatchewan, you have to also be licensed there. So okay. You may be on the ICCRC site.
Right.
And saying, oh, I can get you a job or whatever in Saskatchewan. And if you're not licensed here, it's still illegal, and also in Nova Scotia.
And how would you verify lawyer credentials for a foreign?
If you want to go through a lawyer, I would imagine just the bar.
So you check the Saskatchewan bar and then the bar of each different province to make sure they actually have their bar and they're registered as lawyers in that province.
Yeah. Don't believe on their website. Just because it says on a website doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
And that it's heartbreaking how many people I get that have spent tens and thousands of dollars.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
a lot.
So on that note, do you want to share roughly what somebody should expect to pay as a job seeker or as an employer for either going through a process or to come into Canada or to recruit foreign job seekers? Is there a number you can share with us that would be like an industry standard or expectation?
No industry standard.
Okay. There isn't.
There really isn't. We're all private practitioners. Yep. So it's not, you know, it's I guess the key takeaway from that is shop around. Mm-hmm. But I may charge you $200 an hour and you may charge $400 an hour, but you might get it done in half an hour and I'll take 6 hours.
Yep.
So I think you have to weigh the knowledge of the person, and generally under our oath, we don't take cases that we're not confident in. So if I'm not sure about something, I will go to a colleague and ask them to do it with me.
Awesome.
You know, I think the one thing about the RRICs, the regulated immigration consultants. We want the best for our clients, and we want success at the end of the day, where you have somebody, a ghost consultant, what are you going to do?
You have no recourse. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Well, they're usually outside Canada. I think I looked up a number, and there was only 13 registered in India, but there must be hundreds of offices.
I see.
You know, there's two, I think, registered in Vietnam, and there's hundreds of offices. So.
So do your homework. If you're looking to come to Canada, you're a foreign job seeker, or you want to come in as a student, do your homework, do your research to make sure they're legitimate, and shop around, talk to 3 or 10 or however many you feel you should, and make sure you find somebody that's comfortable with you. Probably a bad sign is somebody who wants you to not talk to other people and just forge ahead with them and do your due diligence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And everything is available on the CIC website. Mm-hmm. People can do it on their own.
Well, and that's one thing for people to take away as well, is that the Canadian government has tons of information. Canada is very good at putting all kinds of helpful information online, including, you know, sites like jobsincanada.com and private sites like that, as well as government sites and the provincial sites. I think the provincial sites are really key too, because I think that's probably overlooked by a lot of foreign job seekers, is okay, there's a federal program for coming into Canada, but what about the specific programs of coming into Saskatchewan, Ontario, Manitoba, Nova Scotia, right?
Right. And our site at riri.ca, we have so much information on everything, because
I noticed that.
Spectacular IT guy.
Oh, awesome. That helps.
Has nothing to do with me. He's behind this. But, you know, there's a lot of information, but it does speak to, it is a life-changing decision that people are making. It is a lot of money, no matter which way you look at it, you know, selling your assets and your house and everything, another country, moving over. So it's your comfort level. Do you want a professional taking care of you? You know, and we take them right from the beginning, whether it's a student, a worker, a business person, right through to settlement services, helping people find the right place to live, schools, and all that kind of stuff.
Right. So having a guide to take you through, so you're not in the dark trying to figure out where the nooks and crannies and turns and pathways are.
Well, I swear that things can change on the fly here.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes wonder if they wake up and say, I need to print something new today.
Well, and I think now there's going to be a lot of changes because the whole world is changing.
Yeah.
That's so great, Daria. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Take care. Okay. Ciao.
Bye.
And that concludes this Bernie Chats for jobsincanada.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please feel free to subscribe, like, share, and comment. I look forward to seeing you on the next Bernie Chats for jobsincanada.com.